do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today's a Tuesday, so it's politics, and the third or fourth Tuesday of every month now, we're going to having a unique ensemble of people. We did it before, and I enjoyed it so much, I thought we'd do it once a month. Brett Roederman, Mike Prox. Gentlemen, how you doing?
We're doing fine.
You sound like you're doing fine. We're doing fine.
Yes, we're doing fine.
I'm awesome. Couldn't be better.
Well, we've had some political changes. Brett, how's your body going?
Well, we did our swearing in, you know, the other night, and we won't see our new faces here for a couple of weeks. We don't meet this Thursday because that's the fifth Thursday of the month. So their first time sitting with us will be, I believe it's November 6th, and that'll be for a committee meeting. So we don't throw the newbies into an assembly meeting right out of the chute. We put them into a committee meeting. So for the folks out there that don't know or get kind of confused how the assembly works, we meet every Thursday, but every other Thursday is a regular assembly meeting, and the Thursdays in between we do our committee of the whole and our finance committee meeting. So our new folks, we'll see them at the dais on the 6th. So
sounds good. Mm-hmm. Mike, what's on your thoughts?
We are preparing for the start of the legislative session. We don't go back to June until the middle of January, but now lots of different groups are calling us up for meetings for promoting their agenda. And we got a lot of work to do. This is the second session of the 34th legislature, so there's 200-something things, bills and stuff now. And they all die. Those that don't get passed all die at the end of this second session and have to start all over again after the election and all that stuff. So be thinking about that. And I'm trying to get the cities, the chamber of commerces, and the regular that have their priorities, try and get them all combined and see if we can't narrow in on a half a dozen things, really, that are really the top priority that we think we can get done, rather than all kinds of stuff that everybody wants, but it's can't get done. The biggest one is going to be money is really going to be tight.
Oh, really?
Really?
Hold it. Yeah. Earth to Mike, we didn't know that.
Yes, right. Well, we do, but, frankly, I'm a little critical of the borough's wish list.
You mean all $162 million?
Yeah, I've got a close connection to Santa Claus, but I can't tell him. And it doesn't work that way. And why?
Well,
why,
you know, Friday's Halloween, go trick or treat.
Yeah, right. Why put your efforts into things that can't be done, and then there's some other things that really my personal plan is to focus on occupational licensing and barriers to employment. Those, I think, are win-win situations. Would save the state minor amounts of money as far as the time it takes to process and deal with all that. But we really need to get more people up here, in particular in healthcare. And our licensing and really our onboarding process is really cumbersome, and that is creating a shortage of healthcare workers from mental health to heart surgery. And I think we can fix some of that just by freeing that up.
Brett, what was your mental process like when you guys were putting together your wish list for the legislature? Were you thinking, oh, this is going to work, or what are they trying to do here?
I can promise you my mental process was different than many on the body.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, there is my thought process has always been, especially in these tight budget times, come up with a list of three things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, three, maybe five to ask for.
Three out of the four policy.
Right. There is, we'll just say, a majority on the assembly that think we should just ask for the moon and the stars, thinking that a larger list somehow gives these guys more choice. And they've told us point blank, don't do that.
No.
But we continue to do it.
Yeah.
And so, which is why I usually end up voting no on the overall resolution. Not that that no vote really means anything. It's kind of a protest vote. But I think we should have a list of three to five.
Yep.
You know, so anyway.
Well, out of your list last year, how many did you get?
One. Was that the one that Frank got us, the million for Horseshoe Downs? And that was right at the end of the session.
Yes. Right.
So that was, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was luck. I mean, that was just pure luck. They offered Frank $1 million. He ran to the list. He looked for one in his district. He went, wham, Horseshoe Downs, perfect road service area. Let's go for it. And what do you know? It went.
Yep. So, but in the House, the majority currently in the House has a hard time saying no. They follow the same thing. And when the bill, the operating budget bill, went out of the House, there was, I forget the exact number, but it was on the order of $1 billion that just plain wasn't funded. And they sent it over to the Senate, and they fixed it. But the House, the majority on the Finance Committee, just could not say no. They could not recognize some sort of limit, and so they sent a budget over with a huge gap. And that's... You can't do that. You have to make a decision that comes out and balances some way in the end. But they just let it go over to the Senate. So then the Senate took everything, you know, made their budget and put it back to us. And that's, you can't do that. That's not a good process. So we got to fix that. And we got to fix that at the local level for what people are asking for.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255. I have Mike Prox and Brett Roderman in the studio here with me, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
A night of music, adventure, and dinosaurs. Bring the whole family to Jurassic Park in concert with the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra, November 1st and 2nd at the Carlson Center. Get tickets now at fairbankssymphony.org.
There's a new radio show echoing across the last frontier, Alaska Tracks. Alaska Tracks celebrates the heritage, landscapes, and deeply rooted traditions of life in Alaska. Hosted by wildlife biologist and lifelong outdoorsman Randy Zartke, Alaska Tracks brings you firsthand stories from hunters, bush pilots, trappers, scientists, artists, and elders who know the land, live the lifestyle, and keep Alaska's legacy alive. Based on an oral history project by the Alaska Trappers Association, each episode is a bridge between generations, between bush and city, between past and future. Alaska Tracks isn't just a show. It's a living archive, a celebration, and a call to stay connected to Alaska's roots. Proudly presented by KFAR Radio and supported by sponsors who celebrate Alaska's story. Rod Saw Shop, Ginger Orem with Crown Real Estate, Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers, and Frontier Outfitters. Alaska Tracks, Saturdays at 1:30 p.m., only on KFAR Radio.
KFAR weather.
Mainly clear skies today with daytime highs approaching 26. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 15. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 27. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Perez in the studio here with Brett Roderman, Mike Prox. We're talking politics. It's a political day. I'm not involved in it anymore. Today is my first morning of freedom and
citizen proof.
I still got up at 5 a.m. You know, just whatever you do, be consistent in what you do. And I consistently getting up at 5 a.m. So what the heck?
Yeah, I do the same thing on the weekends. Say you're going to sleep in. My alarm goes off at 4:30, and every Saturday I wake up at 4:30.
Now here's the deal with me. Me and Emily have this one dog, a Dalmatian, and that dog knows when it's 5 o'clock. About 4:55, about 4:30 this morning, he was letting us know he knows when it's going to be five.
Yeah.
And at 4:55, he started, hey, let's get up, human beings.
Yes.
So. Right. This, Sunday at 2 o'clock, we're going to go back to 1 and hit 2 o'clock again. That dog's going to be getting me up at 4. Because he's thinking it's 5.
Right. Yep. So I had a thought for Mike, when you were talking about the upcoming session. So here in, hopefully by mid-December, we're going to get a decision from Glenn Farn, yay or nay. I'm kind of concerned that is going to suck all the oxygen out of the room. Well, I can certainly see if it's yay, if it's a go. I just wonder if the legislature is going to completely lose focus. And the same thing, if the answer is no, if everybody goes into a deep depression, where do you go from there as far as getting legislation moved?
And actually, what you're going to do is you're going to have Democrats start making very onerous taxation policies into bills.
Right.
And this, we expect to see that coming through, like direct funding for education.
Right.
You're going to see it. You can't do that. But, oh, my God, it's protecting the children.
I'm just wondering if you guys are going to get bogged down, and regardless of what the answer is, whether it's yes or no.
I will guarantee you that we'll
be bogged down. We always get bogged down. You just need another
excuse.
You just need another excuse.
And that's the process. It's difficult to get 21 people to agree on doing the same thing. That's just, we're all independent. We all think on our own, all of that. It is a difficult process, but we've got to do that. But we've got to set priorities. What has been the top priority for the chamber? I believe that's even in the borough's plan, anyway.
Spur line.
Well, the spur line, yes. Yep. But that's an immediate, that's a short term. The long term, we have got to get some policy changes in place that do result in a long-term fiscal plan instead of just considering everything our immediate, this is really important to me. We got to spend all our money on road construction or road maintenance. No. We got to spend it all on education. No. We got to spend it all on health care. No, you can't look at that. We got to look at everything that we do in terms of what is most likely to happen over the next 5 years, and then long term, how do we set this up? Looking ahead, how does this work? And we got to have that. We got to have, if we had more stability and stability in the minds of people who are going to invest in Alaska, that would result, without spending another dime, that would result in more investment in Alaska. But it is very difficult to make if you have a choice between Alaska, Texas, Washington State, rest of the world, or Alaska. Well, gee, I really don't know. These folks don't seem to know what they want to do beyond the next 6 months. But they do want to spend money. And we are getting in a position where the easy money is all gone. We're now dipping into savings. There is a finite number of years. If we continue, we are going to be in a real pickle. And then we're going to look to somebody to come up with that money. Well, who's going to invest with this big risk out there, this big political risk 5 years from now?
What I'd also be doing is everyone's fixated on Glenfarne.
Yep. And that is a big deal.
I would turn to the east a little bit, and I'd be fixated, if I were you, I'd be fixated on the Ambler Road. Then I'd be looking at all those lands that are going to be mined.
Yep.
And I'd be looking at what is a state land. And what is our royalty return? What's the royalty we get? Can we adjust those up?
We can certainly look at that. The difference, Ambler Road, what, that's been going on for 40 years. And people, the hard rock miners, have been running around for a long time, decades. And we have this, well, we have to look at each individual thing. You know, sometimes you can make a lot of money right away. But Fort Knox, for instance.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. But you have to start taking a long-term examination.
Yes.
Of, you know, how long they've been up here.
Yep.
What is the royalty value of when they start producing that the state gets?
Yep.
And then is there, you know, is that equitable for the state, or can we marginally increase it over time, or, you know, something like that?
Yes, right. Those are the things. You have to look at it from the investor's point of view.
And I'd be looking at that this year, too, because everyone's thinking about Glenfarne.
Yes.
But economically, on the long term, what will be better for Fairbanks is the Ambler Road.
Well, you got two things going on. You got the Ambler Road, and you've also got potential leases in Anwar, too.
Oh, yeah.
So
leases in Anwar with Ada.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So, thank my brother Dana.
Right. But we need to focus on and make those projects happen because, let me tell you, you got about 3 years, and then we could have a whole new administration that stops it on day one, just like Biden did.
So I stopped the whole thing.
What we can do in the state, and there's an effort right now, that Administrative Order 360, look at the regulations and put certainty into the regulatory process. The DNR, well, there's all kinds of agencies that have to get involved in a permit, but they have to be given a specific timeline where they're going to make a decision one way or the other.
Yeah.
And then you, we're going to do that, huh? Yeah, well, I guess you have to hire enough people to enable you to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. That would be huge, just bringing certainty to it. And then we need to get ahead. In mining, there's all kinds of prospecting going on within, 300 miles is of Fairbanks. Just real local. Esterdome, there's several other places. We need to make some decisions right now so that people can move forward and decide, is there, as Esterdome as a case in point, the Mental Health Trust has ownership of a lot of that area up there. And supposedly there's a very lucrative deposit of gold somewhere beneath Esterdome. We should at least go to the point where we know either there is a lot or there isn't. And if there isn't, if we find out that there isn't, well, then we got to figure out something else to do.
Well,
with
first
that
of
land.
All, that's up to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority.
It right? is.
And the state of Alaska, other than the, you know, being the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, has zero overview of that.
That is correct. That is, for our purposes, that is privately held property.
Yeah.
The Mental Health Trust is separate from the legislature.
But you want to see them get on with it. So
Fairbanks, well, yeah, I want to
so
know.
Fairbanks, does well.
Yes. And if that is going to, that area has developed.
Isn't it exciting, though, just to sit here and say, we're talking about resource development?
Yes.
You know, a year, 2 years ago, we were talking about another resource being taken away.
Right.
Yep. This, you know, let the good times roll, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those, you know, that land in particular we should focus on, because the whole point of giving the Mental Health Trust was 100 million acres? I forget, a whole bunch of land.
Oh, yeah, you know, after the lawsuit that happened,
yep. And that is how mental health services were supposed to be financed. They're not there to distribute or to advocate for more money from the legislature. They're there to make money to have that available so that the Mental Health Trust can manage the
self-sufficiency.
Self-sufficiency, yes.
You know, and here's something for you, Mike, and not so much, but Brett too, I guess. Mm-hmm. We lost 500 students this year.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. Yet, every year we spend more on education.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there's a formula out there that's so broke,
yes,
thinking more money will fix education. More money doesn't even keep the students there.
No. No, it's there to maintain the status quo, and you cannot ever maintain the status quo. You have to adjust to conditions.
Oh, we're maintaining the status quo. We're 50 out of 50.
Well, right. Yes.
Of course, we're maintaining that status quo.
Yeah. Yeah.
49th, actually.
Oh, well, 50 out of 51.
Okay, there you go. There
well,
you go.
And the borough and the school district are complaining about, well, we have two fairly big operations, Raven and IDEA, mm-hmm, have got a lot of students who reside within the Fairbanks North Star Borough are going to school in a district that is not funded by the borough. And the borough needs to say, well, why are Raven and IDEA capturing our market share, and what can we do to get those students back? That is the way to look at that.
You're absolutely right.
And with these school closures, the one in particular, Midnight Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Midnight Sun, let me get there. Yes. That they have turned that over to their correspondence program, which is a good deal. But the borough can definitely compete with IDEA and Raven.
Or the legislature can do is they can put craft together a bill, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
This is if, you know, like 50% of the revenue, if there's a school district that this student is in location, 50% of their revenue goes to the school district. The other 50% can go to the homeschool. Something like that. Take a portion that is guaranteed if that student lives, say, on Lackloy Hill,
mm-hmm,
then that revenue, 50% of that revenue of this BSA goes, mm-hmm, to the Fairbanks North Star Borough, mm-hmm, School District,
mm-hmm,
or 25% or whatever it is.
Yep.
But a portion must stay here.
Yep. We could. I frankly am hesitant because...
Why?
Because IDEA and Raven are winning students from the borough because they are providing a service that more and more parents want. And I like that competition. And I would like to just see the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District, if you will, rise to the occasion, adjust their business model. Well, then I don't know.
Do you think that they will do that?
I think they certainly could. I think that there is some recognition that that's what we have to do, and it seems to work good as I travel around. the individual teachers,
mm-hmm,
are, you know, they're going to, well, IDEA, Raven,
yeah,
and the charter schools, and they're happier, and I think that that could be done. Yep.
We'll come back to this after the break. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. I have Brett Roederman and Mike Prox in the studio here with me, and we'll be back after some unusual bumper music, some ungodly Fox News, some horrible state weather, and some good commercials.
All right.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer reiterating he and his colleagues will not support funding legislation unless it extends health care subsidies. Criticized Republicans and the president for not taking any action to resolve this government shutdown.
We are in a health care crisis, and Republicans don't even want to talk about how to fix it. The president isn't even in town, as Americans are about to be devastated by the bills they'll receive on health care.
Senate Democrats just blocked another test vote. It's the 13th time. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says the nation's air traffic controllers are no longer receiving pay, but they are sending a clear message.
Open up the government. End the shutdown. Figure out how you guys can negotiate. Have a conversation, but pay us in the interim. Make sure we get paid for the work that we provide to the American people.
The shutdown now 28 days long. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports more than 200 Democratic lawmakers and one Republican are urging the U.S. Supreme Court to strike down President Donald Trump's sweeping global emergency tariffs. The 207 members of the U.S. House and Senate argued in an amicus brief late Friday that the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, or IEEPA, does not authorize the president to unilaterally impose tariffs. The lawmakers urged the justices to agree with a lower court finding that Trump's wide-reaching import taxes triggered under IEEPA violate the Constitution, which grants duty powers to Congress. IEEPA contains none of the hallmarks of legislation delegating tariff power to the executive, such as limitations tied to specific products or countries, caps on the amount of tariff increases, procedural safeguards, public input, collaboration with Congress, or time limitation, the lawmakers wrote. Senator Lisa Murkowski, an Alaskan Republican, was the single GOP co-signer on the brief. A majority of House Democrats, 171 in total, also joined.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
It's Rat Pack with more than 700 varieties of quality cigars, classic cocktails, high-end pours, and your favorite local beers. That's what you'll find at Rat Pack. Check out their incredible humidor. Open Tuesday through Sundays on Old Airport Way, just past Fred Meyer West. It's the Rat Pack. This week, get a $50 gift certificate good for anything in the shop for half price. Our 50-50 Friday offer. It's Rat Pack.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Every time I turn around, my friends at Pure Talk give me one more reason to feel good about switching. This month, for instance, they're supporting Canines for Warriors, a terrific organization that trains rescue dogs and then pairs them up with combat veterans struggling with PTSD. The result? They're saving lives on both ends of the leash. This is why I switched to Pure Talk. I like being in business with an American wireless company who shares my values. Yeah, I appreciate unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $25 a month, and I bet you will too. But I think you'll really appreciate doing business with a company who gives back to the men and women who volunteered to defend our country. Just dial #250, say micro. With Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team, you can switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, dial #250, say micro, to switch to an American wireless company who actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Representative Mike Prox and Assembly Member Brett Roderman here in the studio. Now, Brett, what is the 2026 budget for the borough?
The overall budget?
Overall.
We're just over $200 million.
Is there a portion of it that goes to the school district?
School district. And this last year was, boy, it changed right at the end. But if
65,
I remember right.
65, 67.
No, it wasn't that much. It was 50, 55, 56, I think, every year since I've been on the assembly. Every year it ticks up usually about $1 million, $2 million.
And you have how much of a deficit that you started out with from your reserve?
10.3 was the proposed budget, and it ended up being around 8.3 deficit, if I remember right.
What department has the largest budget?
Well, Parks and Rec has a huge one, but obviously, you know, our commitment to the education system.
Okay, outside education.
Parks and Rec, yes.
So what I'm trying to get at is...
And public facilities.
You don't have a sustainable budget.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to cut somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start looking at what's your biggest department that, you know, mm-hmm. that's where you go first.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Or an overall, you know.
Or are you going to more taxes?
Or you got to have, yeah, you got to bring in more revenue, more taxes. It's going to be some sort of different
Mike
tax.
Mike is smirking.
Yeah, right, yeah. But
a different tax? 60% cigarette tax?
Yeah, right.
30% marijuana tax?
Well, where's the, I mean,
50%
is it,
alcohol
it's
going
to have to come outside the tax cap, you know, if you're going to bring in more, it's got to be outside the tax
you're
cap.
Looking at a sales tax.
You could be looking at a sales tax, potentially.
Or you could be looking at fee for service.
Fee for service is another one. Raising our fees, looking for donations. You know, Bernie Carl had a great idea during the public testimony when Tammy Wilson suggested, you know, raising the bed tax by another 4%. And Bernie, it was a great point. Mm-hmm. He's like, look, we got all these tourists that come up here from all over the country, all over the world. Many of these folks, especially folks from the East Coast, they're very used to pay to play.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, why don't we put like kiosks at our trailheads and our parks and stuff, have a little, you know, one of those QR codes that said, help, you enjoyed this trail, you enjoy this park, please help donate, and just have a $5, a $10, a $20. They're used to paying for all that stuff. Yeah. How much money could we bring in? And the first thing we hear is it's going to cost too much to set up a post with a QR code on it, you know?
Yeah.
Because you immediately get pushback. It's the thing that drives me crazy about being at the borough. Maybe you noticed when you were on the assembly, there's just this overwhelming air in that building of, no, we can't.
Yes.
It just drives,
no, we don't want to.
Or maybe it's no, we don't want to. It's just always
it's,
no,
it's
Mr.
It's work. It's work.
Right, because I say, well, why don't we just do this? Well, Mr. Rutherman, you just don't understand. We just can't do that. And there's always a big, long list of excuses. It's like, well, what if we put that much effort into those excuses into coming up with ways that we could actually do this? Yes. You know, I'm to the point now, it's like, well, let's do something, even if it's wrong. You know, let's try something different, because clearly, this isn't working, you know. And another way is, you know, to me, I don't know a lot, but I think if I was mayor and I've got to propose this budget and I'm $10 million over, I think I probably would have gone to my department heads and said, hey, it's looking like I'm $10 million over, so I need you guys to throw me a couple of different budgets here, you know. So let's start with one with a 5% cut in everything, you know, across the board. Have each department head come to you with where are your find efficiencies within your unit.
What's the percentage of your budget that is in payroll?
Oh my goodness!
Because you can't cut payroll. You can cut positions, but you can't cut payroll.
Right, you can't cut payroll, and those are union negotiated positions. Yeah. And so as I understand it, you know, virtually every year, you know, we're jumping up
3% plus.
We're dumping up about $3 million every year to cover the cost of wages and the benefit package. So that means even if you balance the budget this year, next year you're $3 million in the hole. You start off $3 million in the hole.
It was great. One of the last things I got done, it's not signed yet, but I got the AFL-CIO contract agreed to. So the one union contract for the year is done.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, what we did is we didn't look at each individual pay level. We said your pay levels are going to be a percentage of what the Alaska General Contractors Association pays, because those are union contracts outside or not outside, but up north and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always competing against them. So we said, we're going to pay a percentage of that. That way we're not negotiating with a specific hand that may be a welder or one that's a grader operator or one that's a, a heavy duty mechanic. That's set by the Alaska General Contractors Association. And you get a specific amount of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was agreed to.
And that's going to be...
And good idea.
Yeah.
Because there's...
Some people will get a 50 cent per dollar hour wage, and other people get $4 or $5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's unified.
Yeah.
Because you always had, you're not treating this right versus these guys. Guess what? We're all treating you the same now that you've agreed to with the AG, Alaska General Contractors Association. Mm-hmm.
The other thing the borough should be doing is looking at this mining. Fort Knox is now the biggest taxpayer in the borough. They are the
single largest taxpayer in the borough.
In the borough. And they hire, I forget, 700, 900, a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are buying houses, and that's increasing the tax base and all of that. And there's all kinds of opportunities within the borough, and there are challenges. But the borough should be looking at how do we solve these problems and attract that development instead of just letting...
How do we attack it with a tax or a fee? Yeah, how do we get more...
We are for the Fort Knox, again, as an example. They are paying the same millage rate. Well, actually, they're paying a higher millage rate because they don't get resident exemptions and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the borough is making a ton of money off of Fort Knox specifically. And if there were others coming in, there's, like I say, there's plenty of prospects. And we should figure out how to identify the protests. Can we solve these problems? Can we make a win-win situation? But we should be looking for attracting those.
If Fort Knox were to close tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
It'd be huge.
Oh, boy. The cuts that would have to happen at the borough level would be staggering.
Yep.
Absolutely staggering.
Yep.
Oh, boy, would the Fairbanks change.
Yeah, well,
it would change overnight.
Think of the equipment providers, CMI.
Yep.
You know, John Deere.
Yep.
All that. Because
tractor.
The commercial real estate in this town is carrying the lion's share of the tax burden here.
Right.
It's not, I mean, the homeowners have got a huge burden on their back.
Right.
But, you know, you take a commercial building and take your property tax on your house and multiply it times three or four.
Yep. So. Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Yep.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
And I object.
You always object when it comes to something like this. What's your objection?
I don't always object. I think this is the first time I've ever said I object. Anyway, you know, you're trying to express all this gratitude, how fortunate we are to have Fort Knox here.
Mm-hmm.
And because all they contribute. Well, let me tell you, how many gazillions are they taking out of our land and shipping it out to foreign lands and profiting at the, what is it, almost $5,000 an ounce gold?
Well, Mel, whose property are they on?
Well, they're on, for a large part, public lands.
No, well,
mental health.
Alaska Mental Health lands.
Right.
And Alaska Mental Health lands redid the... royalty value with them. They get the highest royalty value in the state of Alaska.
Right.
Yeah, but it's still...
So do you think the state of Alaska should be mining that property?
No, I just think that your gratitude is a bit misplaced. They should be thankful to us for allowing them to make such mega profits for the relatively small share that we get and that the Alaska Mental Health Lands Trust gets. It's not... In comparison to their profits, it's dwarfed. And I just want to make that point. Even though they are a large contributor, it's...
Your objection is noted. Objection is noted.
Yeah, well taken. And, yeah, we should be negotiating for the best deal we can, but we need to look at it. Fort Knox, they were in business for... pretty near 20 years.
A guy by the name of Greg Jones with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority.
Yeah.
When they needed their properties, he negotiated a whole different deal versus what the state of Alaska gets and almost tripled what the royalty value is.
Right. Mm. Yeah. But they invested and were in business for, I want to say, close to 20 years before they actually started really making money at it.
And your typical mining operation of a scale...
Mm-hmm.
That's normal.
Yeah.
It's 20 years before they see a return that's profitable from when they start.
Yep.
So, yeah, but you're always going to have, you know, someone calling, they're earning too much.
Yeah, and that's a fairly recent phenomenon.
Is it because of their risk and their efficiencies that they're earning too much that they did this financial risk?
Yep. And the fact that they're making money up here is encouraging them to invest more up here. They opened up, can't remember, a satellite mine. They can expand theirs. If you squeeze them too hard, they'll say, well, rats, I'm going to go somewhere
else. Someone else, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a delicate balance. It really is.
Yep.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The Alaska Comedy Showcase is back for Halloween weekend with the hilarious Katherine Blandford. Seen her on The Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon, and more. Fresh off opening sold-out stadiums for Bert Kreischer, Katherine Blandford bringing her southern charm to Fairbanks for the first time ever. Wednesday the 29th at the North Pole Ale House, Thursday the 30th at the Spur, Halloween night, and November 1st at the Pioneer Park Theater. Catch Katherine Blandford live. Brought to you by Zach's Restaurant at Sophie Station and the radio station. For tickets and info, go to Alaska Comedy.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at nationalguard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
KFAR weather.
Mainly sunny skies today with daytime highs approaching 26. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 15. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 27. Mid-30s Thursday, low 30s Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. As I always say, it's interesting the conversations we have when we're not on the air. And Mike Prox is such an overbearing person.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. That's the one word I know how to describe.
Overbearing Mike Prox. Maybe genteel and gracious. But overbearing. And this is what we're talking about. How many oil companies, you know, like Mel brought up, they're profitable, exceedingly so. They're taken out of the state of Alaska, you know, yada, yada, yada. You always hear that.
Yep.
But how many oil companies have come up here and failed?
A lot.
Lots.
And yes. How many oil companies have come up here and failed, and then we get stuck with a bill?
Yep.
Yep.
That has to be brought up, too.
Yeah. And, well, recent history, because we got greedy with ACES when the price of oil was up around $100 a barrel, there was very little new development in Alaska. There was development everywhere else, but not in Alaska. And then we passed a more reasonable tax policy. We've held to it. We've kept it steady. And now we have a lot more investment in Alaska because of a more stable policy. Willow moved forward. Pika moved forward. They took on a huge risk, billions of dollars. And if the price of oil goes down, they're going to assume that risk. But we got to look at this from attracting people. If we think that some company is making too much money, we are all free to invest in that company. Not complain that
or
it's
buy
going
the company.
Else. Buy the company. Heck yeah. And but to just assume that they're making too much is dangerous.
Yeah, my question to Mel is, how much is too much?
Yeah.
Does Elon Musk make too much?
Or how much is enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't quite understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I guarantee you, my wife would like me to make a whole lot more.
Are you going to penalize a company like that for not being risk averse, coming in,
right,
having the financial background to set up the infrastructure, to operate it for 20 years before they start making a profit.
Right.
Which is typical in that industry.
In that industry, it takes a long time to get your money back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's take another phone call.
There we go.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Always like to hear Mel call in.
Yeah, so do I.
Points of view. Look, he mentioned something about the gazillions, I think he said, of gold going out of the state. And my impression from his call was not maybe that they thought the gold company was making too much, but just the fact that the gold was leaving us. Goodbye, gold. He's leaving us, going out of the state. But trade is a two-way street. The gold goes out, but the money comes in from out of the state back to us. Of course, it goes to the Kinross company, but it goes to all the workers. The workers spend their money in town, and it goes to all the businesses in town, and then the money goes to the borough. So it's a two-way street, you know, got bye-bye to the gold, but hello, hello to all the money that returns because of the gold going out.
Yep.
Randy, thank you for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it, buddy. You have a good day. But, you know what I always like to tell people to do is drive down Van Horn.
Mm-hmm.
And also Pegger.
Mm-hmm.
And look at CMI, CAT, Volvo.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their equipment. You can see equipment there. Yep. And those aren't the big ones.
Right.
Those aren't the mining ones.
Right.
Well, just think back.
Yeah, those are the construction ones.
Yep.
You've been here forever, obviously. Mm-hmm. I moved here in 1991, and I can remember it was probably only 20, maybe 25 years ago when you drove down Van Horn on the south side of Van Horn Road. What was there? Answer?
Nothing.
Power and transmission.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
There was nothing. Now there's buildings as far as you can see.
Low ground.
Yep. Low flooded muck is all it was. Now, there's hardly a vacant lot there, and I think one of the last vacant lots is being developed now, if I remember right. I think they're clearing it. Or no, they put something up, I think.
And what's going to happen now is those original ones from the late 60s and to mid-70s, they're going to start getting knocked down.
That's right.
Because they're on a good pot of ground there.
That's right. But, yeah, I remember a time when you could drive the whole length of Van Horn. You couldn't see anything.
Nothing.
And now you've got future development on the Van Horn extension heading out towards University Avenue. That land next to Great Northwest, they cleared that years ago. Yep. They've just been letting it thaw and drain, which it's been doing. I've watched it for years. That's how I drive to the airport from the shop, you know. So all of that's going to be commercial buildings.
There was a picture in the Newsminer yesterday, I believe, of 2nd Avenue in 74, 75. I can't remember.
But, yeah, 75.
What I noticed was that there were all kinds of people on the street on 2nd Avenue. And today you drive down there and there just are not that many people on the street.
Okay, Mike, let's be honest.
All right, we'll
the people on that street, what were they doing?
Hanging at bars.
Yeah.
That's the other thing I noticed about that picture is all the signs were bars.
I know.
Or
they're going to the Star of the North Bank. You're going to your dad's.
They went into a couple of jewelry stores. The Co-op Drug was doing
there,
well.
Yeah.
The gift shop was doing well. There was a lot. And those bars were keeping many of the athletic programs going on at the time.
Right.
And, yeah, we just look at the negative, but there's all kinds of positive.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And it is good, by the way, be a little more optimistic. It is good to see the downtown, the 2nd and 3rd Avenue specifically. They are starting to come back, and there are lots of businesses opening, and good for them. But you need the other investment to keep your community going.
Most of our cash flow here in this town comes from government. You know, it's what is it, 60-some-odd, so almost 70%.
Yep.
You know, we should not be poo-pooing a fresh cash inflow from a company like Kinross. And I'm sorry, but that's bringing in massive amounts of cash, you know.
Well, also, how many people do they employ?
It's in the neighborhood of 900 people when you count the contractors and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all the businesses that are, you know, that are, you know, making money off of them.
The service companies.
The service companies and, you know, NC
Mel, Cat. That wasn't the good one to pick at, Mel.
NC Cat sure appreciates companies like them.
That's like picking at the University of Alaska, which is basically a nonprofit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. North Pole Welding has all kinds of truck beds, overhaul trucks, and they rebuild their overhaul truck beds every once in a while. And a lot of those folks are going out for dinner here and there, and that's the way it works. They contribute a whole lot to this economy. And the tax, you know, the price is high right now, but their net is not a whole $4,000.
Well, you know, and how many times do you see, you know, sponsored by Kinross, sponsored by ConocoPhillips, you know, sponsored by, you know, these are big time donors. They're not dropping $1,000 on an event. They're dropping $10,000, $20,000, $40,000.
The one you should be worrying about is use of belly.
Yes.
Yep.
We do have to be
in coal, in their coal business. They have other. They've you know, become very intertwined with other businesses.
Right.
But the coal business isn't the best in the world, and they have a very limited amount of customers. So.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think the use of belly is probably going to, you know, if this gas line does go and we get the spur line and, you know, things start to change here as far as energy goes, use of belly is probably just going to, they're going to be forced to diversify. They're going to have to probably focus on their markets more overseas. Yeah. Fortunately, they have those markets. They've worked hard to develop those markets. Because that might be what saves them, you know, because those markets want our coal because it's so much cleaner.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. And, well, I don't know. If this moves forward, we got to go. Okay.
1 minute. 1 minute.
1 minute. Yeah. We got to just look forward. If we get after it, we've got several decades of really great opportunities before us. So we should be thinking about that.
Brett, what are your final thoughts?
Well, my final thoughts are, these thoughts are mine. They're mine alone. They do not represent
the Fairbanks
North Star Borough,
nor
the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. No, technically, I don't have to, but I just like to do that.
Just be safe.
That's the new and improved ethics version?
Right. Yeah, but in the new and improved one, technically, I don't have to do that, but I'm playing safe. I know I'm being watched, and I'm being listened to, so I'll play safe.
Oh, my God. Well, you're darn right you're being listened to, because you're on KFAR Radio, buddy. Oh, man. Well, this is our last Tuesday of the month group.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little bit of roundtable of politics on a Tuesday. And appreciate you guys being here and stepping in. And time, you know, there's games afoot. You're going to be going through a lot of meetings now, getting ready for Juneau.
We certainly will.
And you're games afoot. You're going to be having a lot of meetings because you've got a new sitting assembly.
Yep. We got a whole new assembly. Here we go again.
Fairbanks, it's been a great day. You have a good Tuesday, and I'll see you tomorrow. And we have Joni Skillbred tomorrow on KFAR Radio. I'll see you tomorrow.